It's interesting, a couple of people told me to keep them awake. Now, I don't know if that's that I'm such a bad speaker and I put people to sleep, or tonight's a hot afternoon and you're tired from your activities.
I'm going with A.
Okay. You're up here next week, brother. Okay, we'd like to read in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you're having trouble finding it. John's Gospel, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men might, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. There's a thing over the top of the switch. It's not recording? Is that what you're telling me? I think I have lots of volume here. How's that? 1, 2? Okay. Away we go. John 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. A man in touch with God. A man in touch with the eternal. A man who had God behind him. A man sent forth by God. There's a trite saying, some went and some were sent. But I always say, thank God that they went, because there's a lot that won't go. Our prayer this evening is that God might touch your heart, that you might hear his voice, that you might respond to his message, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that there's some here who God has spoken to in the past, and you felt God tugging at your heartstrings, and you've been resisting. And then another speaker would stand up, and God speaks to you again. And yet you're saying, not now. There was a movie out, Heaven Can Wait. Heaven Can't Wait. We're living in the end times, I believe. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. What are we doing with our lives? This evening, before this meeting, we had a little meeting in that room back there. And there was some men that were concerned with the souls of men and women, boys and girls in Prince Edward Island. And they were praying for these boys and girls and men and women in Prince Edward Island. And they're talking about ways to reach out. Here was a man by the name of John, sent by God. There were two tributes paid to John. One was by the Lord Jesus Christ, and one was by the crowd. The Lord Jesus Christ said, of all that were born of women, there were none greater. And then the tribute by the crowd, it's very interesting because really, it's linked to the other one. John did no miracle, but all that he spoke of Christ was true. He was a wonderful man who did nothing wonderful. He testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we might go to a concert and we have an MC. He comes up front like Jock did. And then he announces, tonight we have this band all the way from Louisville, Kentucky. And then they announce the banjo player and the guitar player and the mandolin player. But what John the Baptist did much more than that. He not only told about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world to be the Savior of sinners, but he also spoke about sin, he was preparing the ground. He didn't wait until Jesus came without advising people the problem that they had. The problem that they have, that men and women have, is sin. And your sin is taking you down to hell. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message. How did he get his audience? He went out into the desert. He wasn't in the marketplace where all the people were. That's where we want to go. We're talking about evangelism. Where do we go? Well, there's a parade here. There's going to be thousands. There's an event down here where there's bands playing, and there's going to be thousands there. He went out, and men came to hear him because he was a man sent from God with a message of God. Do we have the message of God? Do you have that message tonight? Yes, you say, I have my Bible. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. We have something very interesting. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. You say, what's interesting about that? The world, five political men, two religious men. We have Tiberius Caesar, the emperor of the Roman world. We have Pontius Pilate, the governor. We have King Herod. We have Philip. We have Lysanias. And then we have the two religious leaders, the high priest and the former high priest. And yet, the word of God comes unto John, an insignificant guy that spent most of his life in the desert. It says the word of God came upon John. The word of God came down. The Greek word is epi. It came upon him. God was pressing the word of God into his soul. As we sit here and we listen to the word week after week, and it comes to our hearts, are we ever convicted by what has been spoken? Leonard went through some serious things this morning. He talked about Christians judging Christians taking Christians to court. Then he went on a little bit farther in the end of that chapter, and he listed a bunch of group of people. There were adulterers, there were fornicators, there were drunkards, there were thieves, there were homosexuals. He lists that great list of sins, and then he says, some of you were these men, but God has changed you. The gospel is the power of God to change sinners into saints. Do we believe that? Sometimes we look. My mother went to a conference a couple of weeks ago. They had a May conference up in Bluefield High School, and she come home, and you know what she says? She says, Romy's niece got saved. When's the last time we've seen people saved in this building? Do we feel like we have the right attitude? Do we feel like we have the right message? Sometimes we look at them and we say, oh, they're so hard, and they have so many rules, and they have a certain dress code, and they're so strict. And yet God is working over there. Is God working here? Sharing the gospel. I remember Mr. Ed Billingham, he was preaching when I got saved. He says, we're not gospel haulers, we holler the gospel. That was his idea. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is a power of God unto salvation. This afternoon, I want to speak to you in relation about John in relation to the Godhead. God in relation to the Father, God in relation to the Son, and God in relation to the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist exalted Christ. He lifted up Christ. We're going to read about that. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 80, it says, "He was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel." God was working with John the Baptist. He had a time of solitude. We're living in an age where we have to have the radio on, the television on, the internet on, and we feel like we don't have all those conveniences. We feel like we're missing something. It was nice going down to camp and shutting out all those distractions and spending time with brothers and sisters that have a heart for God, that have a desire to see boys and girls saved down at Emmanuel Bible Camp. There's so much work to be done. Some people feel, well, I can't go and preach in the open air. I can't give out tracts. I can't knock on doors. There's a lot of things that can be done. I was piling firewood. I was burning fire. I like burning stuff. That was fun. We were doing stuff that had to be done. There was smart brethren like Fenno over there, and he was doing real work. No, it was all real work, wasn't it, Fenno? Because if I wasn't lifting the logs, he would have had to do it, and he can't do two things at once. There's a work that has to be done, a preparation work before kids can go down there. John the Baptist was doing a preparation work. When you think about the people that John the Baptist spoke to, who did he speak to? He spoke to King Herod. It says he spoke to the multitudes. He spoke to the tax collectors. He spoke to the soldiers. He spoke to the Pharisees. He spoke to the scribes. He spoke to the Sadducees. He had a variable audience. God equipped him. A man spending time in the desert alone with God. How much time are we spending alone with God? How much time a week do you spend with your Bible? Go to your bedroom, if that's the only quiet place, and open up your Bible and start reading your Bible. But don't just start reading your Bible. When you take a chapter, John chapter 1, take your pen and a paper and start making notes. Because 2 years' time, you won't remember what you studied back then. Start making notes. The next time you go back to it, you're building up line upon line, precept upon precept, and God is working in your heart. Could you imagine a brain surgeon? He says, I'm just going to go into the lecture, and I'm just going to sort of sit there, and I'm just going to absorb everything that's said. And then all of a sudden, he has to leave that classroom, and he has to go into that surgery room, and he has to operate. I hope he was taking notes. And how about you and I? Do we ever have our pens out? This is the first church I've been in where they have these notepads, these sermon notepads in the pews. That's an excellent idea. An excellent idea because you can write things down. Some speakers have something worthwhile saying. Some of us don't. And it's nice. I believe that every time a man stands up on the platform, he should be giving you something to take home. And if we haven't given you some to take home, we haven't done our homework. Brothers, it's high time we get serious with God, isn't it? I know not everybody's going to come up on the platform. I was talking to the brothers. When we were in Bella Coola, there was a bunch of brothers who were with us, and we were doing knocking on doors. And then we went and we were preaching the gospel in the open air. And one of the brothers said, no, I don't want to do that. And this guy, he could knock on any door, and he felt completely comfortable. That's the whole point of working together. Not everybody feels like giving tracts person to person. Some people feel free to preach in the open air, but they feel constricted or they feel pressure on them when they're faced with confrontations because it's too close for them. They don't feel comfortable. That's why we're the body of Christ. Not everybody is a hand. Not everybody is a foot. What was John's message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark tells us that he preached baptism for the repentance, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. When you heard John preaching, it wasn't too long before you realized you had to get in the water. How many people are saved in this place here tonight and they've never been baptized? Oh, I'm just waiting for the Spirit to enlighten me. Go into all the world, preaching the gospel and baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a brother in Vancouver used to say, "You didn't preach the resurrection." Yes, Christ died, he was buried, and he was raised again for our justification. Yes, we believe in a full gospel. Yes, Christ that saved you is now seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And Christ has given you, not only saved you from going down to hell, he has given you power over that sinful life, and you're not going back to it. John the Baptist says, "Bring forth fruit meet for repentance." They're suitable for repentance. If you say you're Christian, show us that you're Christian. John spent 30 years in private. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent 30 years in private for 3 years in public, a ratio of 10 to 1. We have to spend time alone with God, getting to know him. That's the way it was with Elijah before he spoke with Ahab. That's the way it was with Paul before he went into public ministry. That's the way it was with Moses. He spent 40 years in the backside of the desert before he led God's people. I want to think about John in relation to Christ. John has a great appreciation of Christ. He exalted Christ. He lifted up Christ. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He pointed people to the Savior. He didn't point people. Someone says when John the Baptist was beheaded, that was the end of the Baptist church. Yes, we're Christians. We're not Baptists. We're not Pentecostals. We're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever look at the number of words that God has chosen? We're called saints. We're called brothers. We're called believers. There's a whole list of terms that you and I have been called. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That was Calvary. And then he says, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. That was Pentecost. He understood Christ's mission. When John spoke, he said, "This is him of whom I bore witness," John 1 and 15. "He that comes after me is preferred before me." He's speaking of his humanity. "He that comes after me." John was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. "But he was before me." He spoke of his deity, the pre-incarnate Christ. He was daily his Father's delight. And then we see the humility of John the Baptist. He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Look in John 1, 15. "John bore witness of him and cried, saying, 'This was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace.'" You know, John mentions himself 4 times in that verse, and yet we don't notice it because he's lifting up Christ. He brought Christ to the people. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And then he brought people to Christ. I want to think about John in relation to the Holy Spirit. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. I want to read that again. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. What is this verse referring to? Well, anybody that reads their Bible would say, oh, that's easy. That's Numbers chapter 6, the Nazarite vow. He was a man that was consecrated to God from his mother's womb. Someone might put it like this: no coolers, no cutting, and no contact. No coolers, what do you mean by that? Well, I remember in Vancouver, I would go out with some Christians and we'd go on out for dinner. And they said, oh, have you tried this new wine cooler? It tastes really good. It's not even like you're drinking alcohol. It becomes very acceptable. It becomes very social. It doesn't look like a glass of beer. It looks like you could be drinking cherry pop or one of these other flavors. But what happens? It has alcohol. And what does alcohol do? It perverts judgment. And here was a man that was to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, not the spirit of alcohol. Are we all listening to this? If you want to be a man of God, what did John do? For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. It's important we listen to this. We're coming to an age where we leave the hard messages for a few men to say the difficult things that most people don't want to say. We don't want to call sin, sin. We don't want to make people uncomfortable. We want to say nice things so everybody feels really good when they come here. But we're doing people a disfavor for their spiritual lives if they just go on just like the world. There was a story of a young man. He got saved. He was at some gospel meetings, and he got a job up north in the lumber camps. And the Christians were saying, listen, that's a rough place up there. And you know, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to stand firm and you have to read your Bible and you have to take a stand for God. So he came back after 3 months and the preacher says, well, how did it go? He said, it went great. Nobody suspected a thing. Is that what would happen if you went up there? Or would people know that you were a Christian? Would people say, there's a man of God? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was Fennel. There was a man sent from God whose name was Leonard. How many more names could I put there? There was a man sent from God whose name was Josh, Alan, Jock. Could I fill in each name here? Would you be able to say, yes, I'm that man sent from God, and God has a message on my, he has a hand on my life, and he has his message in my heart, and my desire is to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then John, in relation to the crowd met him and they said, who are you? Are you Christ? No. Are you Elijah? He was a prophet. He was preaching. No. Are you that prophet? Deuteronomy chapter 18. For some of us, that would be pretty easy. I'll tell you who I am. You don't know me? John did not exalt himself. He lifted up Christ. And then they said, why are you baptizing? Baptism for the remission of sins. They came to him confessing their sins. The preaching that he gave convicted them of their unrighteousness. What shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Thankfully, Paul and Silas says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then we think about John in relation to King Herod. King Herod was an interesting person that a lot of us, maybe we feel like he was caught in a difficult situation. He's in his palace, and he hears about John the Baptist. And they're having a feast one night. John had said for him, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14 and 4, it's recorded, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He was talking to him about the sin of adultery. He wasn't afraid to speak to him because he was King Herod. He could have lost his life like that, but King Herod received the word of God. He received it as a rebuke, and he respected him. But his wife was a different story. She heard that word, and it was gnawing on her, and she wanted to obliterate him. So they're having a party, and in came the dancing girl, and the wine was flowing. And he promised her, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. So what does she ask for? The head of John the Baptist on a platter. He had a conscience about keeping his promise with Herodias' daughter, but he didn't have a conscience about breaking God's law. We're living in an age where we're afraid to offend everybody except God. And that's Christians too. We'd rather offend God than offend one of the people here in the audience. John's ministry was pretty short. For we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, this was right after the temptation. Right after the temptation. Says Jesus heard that John was cast into prison. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, we read these words. Are you he that should come, or should we look for another? Doubts. And maybe some Christians have doubts. If we go to John's Gospel, chapter 14, there's another one. We hear about doubting Thomas. He says, how can we know the way? And thankfully, because of Thomas's question, the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. So because of Thomas's question, some people even here in this audience have received assurance of their salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When John sent his disciples to Jesus, he said, are you he that should come, or should we look for another one? Should we look for somebody else? He wants assurance for his disciples. Are you he that should come, or should we look for another? And Jesus seems to give a very strange answer. They said, we have heard of your works. That's why John sent him. John heard of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus say to him? Tell of my works. John had only heard of his works, but he tells the disciples, Tell John of the works that you do hear and see. It was a firsthand confirmation as they would go back. John's popularity. Jesus asked, was asked the baptism of John, was it of heaven or of men? And the chief priest said, if we say it was of men, we fear the people because they believe that John was a prophet. He might have been disliked, but they believed he was a prophet. They recognized there was a man stood up for God. Long life is not proof of a life pleasing to God. Here was a man died in his early 30s. When your work is finished, you're ready to go home. I'm going to close with these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How is this accomplished? This afternoon I went to a burial. It wasn't a funeral. The funeral was a few months ago, and today there was a burial. My mom's sister was buried. And we got there about 15 minutes early, and I spent some time, and I walked around the cemetery. And I looked at the gravestones. All these people now in eternity, what hope can I find? What hope will be left behind on one of these gravestones that I might look at that person and say, they are in heaven? I didn't find one gravestone with assurance of a person in heaven. Rest in peace. Loved but not forgotten. No more pain. Oh, yeah? It's sad. It's sad. I said to my wife, I said, when I have my, you know when somebody dies, they have one of those little bulletins that Jock had there? And Jock, if my wife doesn't remember, I want you to write this down. Born July 4th, 1953. Born again March 19th, 1976. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for my sins. Do you have that assurance? If you don't. And then, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That funeral today, it was a disgrace. There's a man reading from a bulletin. The woman died 3 months ago, and they're praying now that she'll be able to get into heaven. If that's you and I that are saved, absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's the message that John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at heaven. You can have a remission of sins. You can have your sins forgiven. That's the good news of the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again. And he's coming again. Praise God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. In John's Gospel, chapter 21, the Lord gives us these words. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be unto you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that the Word of God came unto John. He wasn't in a seminary. He wasn't in the temple. He was in the desert. And the Word of God came unto him. He was filled with your Holy Spirit. And he was a vessel fit for the Master's use. Lord, that we might be vessels fit for the Master's use. Lord, we have activities coming up this summer. We have a Bible camp. There's cooks needed. There's counselors needed. There's cleaners needed. Not all are public ministries. There are parades. There will be a need for drivers. There'll be a need for kids passing out candy, for people holding a banner, for people giving out invitations, gospel tracts. There'll be a need for many activities, and some of these ones we don't feel qualified for. But Lord, you will accept our offering. If we offer our life to you, you will find something for us to do. We're assured of this. So, Father, we commit our lives into your hands this evening in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.